Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity seeks truth. Here with you on Tuesday at noon and at your convenience at voiceofvashon.org. I'm your host, Susan McCabe. Today, I want to talk about how Vashon Island has had a checkered history of healthcare. The island has been through three medical clinics, at least, in under 10 years for a variety of reasons, mostly financial. Now, our latest provider, NeighborCare, has recently announced it's departing in September of this year. Enter Vashon voters, who elected a five-member health district commission last year to govern a health district taxing authority. And those smart people chose to hire an experienced superintendent. He is Eric Jensen, who comes to us with 30 years' experience in healthcare management, 24 of that in rural districts. His job is to find us a new provider. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Susan.
And do you have a cape?
No.
We're thinking the person who is going to find us healthcare that we can hang on to is going to have to be pretty superpowered.
Well, I have faced some pretty significant challenges in some of the rural communities I've been at, in terms of access to care and providing basic primary care. So this is not a new challenge.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience? In what areas have you worked? And can you maybe give us a short story or two about what happened?
Sure. You mentioned I've been in public hospital districts for 24 years. And as part of my career, and those were all in rural communities. They included Forks, Washington, out on the Olympic Peninsula, the west side of the Olympic Peninsula, Ellensburg, Washington, and Kittitas County, and also Monroe, Washington, which is eastern Snohomish County. And so all those, each rural community is unique, and each has its own set of challenges. So where there's some common problems, the solutions usually differ depending on the unique characteristics of the rural community. So in the community like Forks, which was my first, which I was at some time ago, which is pretty unique by its isolation. It's isolated not unlike Vashon. Vashon, though, is closer to metro areas. It's just isolated by the ferry ride. But Forks is 60 minutes from the next city. And it's a long ways away, and it's hard to recruit primary care practitioners to work in that community because of its remoteness, and you have to have people that have certain interests in working there without a lot of support from specialty providers.
How does their population compare to that of Vashon in terms of numbers?
Very similar. The west coast, western side of Clallam County, when I was there, was about 10,000 people, which is very comparable to Vashon, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. Only that 10,000 people was spread out it was all the way over a 30-mile distance. So,
well, of these rural groups that you've worked with, how many of them actually voted in a hospital district, or in our case we call it a healthcare district because we're not going to build a hospital? How many of them voted in a healthcare district, and how many of those that did succeeded in securing sustainable health care with the money from the taxing that they were able to demand?
Well, all three of the district hospitals, or health care districts as you refer to them as, all were in existence at the time that I worked there. So Forks actually, I believe, was the very first health care district ever formed in the state after the law was passed allowing for district to form, and it was formed sometime in these, I believe. But in all three communities, I worked with those communities to use tax dollars to support ongoing healthcare services. And so, in a community like Forks, that district was a health system for the western portion of Clallam County. So they provided mental health services. They ran a BLS ambulance service. They operated clinics, and they operated the hospital, and they operated the nursing home. Those were all under that hospital district. And so, I mean, we used, so when I was there, of course, you know, we used our taxing authority to not only, we already have a, had a maintenance and operation levy, which supports basic operations, but we also have an EMS levy. And so we passed a renewal of the EMS levy when I was there that supported the ambulance service, and then we also passed a bond levy when I was there to remodel and expand the hospital.
What kind of pushback did you get from citizens on passing those levies, on voting for those levies?
There are always people that there's always the concern about taxes, and and I'm very sensitive to that issue. But you just need to present communities with the facts on what the taxes will and will not do, and whether the community is willing to support the services that those taxes will provide. So for a community like Forks, what was really important to that community was not only the emergency department, but was also the maintaining the skilled nursing facility or nursing home in that community, because that was part of the hospital. It was a wing of the hospital, and that was really important because people didn't want to have to drive 60 miles one way to visit their father or mother who was in a nursing home. And so that was a big priority for them. And so we used tax dollars to add on to the nursing home and increase the number of beds, for example.
So you mentioned a variety of healthcare services in Forks. And am I to understand that the Forks Healthcare District or Hospital District actually managed all those facilities? In other words, they hired professionals to run those facilities, and it was independent of a larger corporate provider?
Yes. When I was there, I was a CEO. We had a board, an elected board, just like Vashon does, and we had directors that oversaw the different services. For example, the EMS service, the mental health center, which was an outpatient mental health center, the skilled nursing facility. We had we hired the expertise to operate those units of the district, but they all reported up to me. So,
do you remember what the total budget was that was created by the taxes collected from the district?
I don't remember that, but I can tell you there were not only property taxes that district received, but as a district, they also received a portion of timber revenue, which was revenue off of sale of timber on public lands, and that was significant for that district, which is unusual because that's an unusual aspect of being on the Olympic Peninsula.
So they had some, if you will, commercial property tax that was probably higher than residential property taxes would be.
Oh, absolutely. It was a timber tax. It was not just residential, and so that was a big part of it. In fact, one year, that was $1 million worth of taxes.
Wow. Yeah, that's significant. So now you're working as the superintendent for Vashon's healthcare district. And my understanding is that our district commissioners did publicize a request for proposal several weeks ago. What can you tell us about the response to that?
Well, up until the deadline for the response for the RFP that they sent out was they were hoping to get a response to their proposal by June 8th, and in the time leading up to June 8th, they did have dialogue with a number of providers, and there were a couple people that expressed an interest in it. The challenge with the providers in responding to the RFP was they were all immersed in trying to adjust and respond to the COVID-19 crisis that we're all obviously intimately aware of. and it was a bad, it was really, the timing was really not very good for them to try to put together a significant proposal response. So we did not get any formal responses to the RFP that went out. And that RFP went out to major hospital systems in Western Washington, as well as some non-hospital systems that operate clinics. And so what we did as a result of that is we went and then initiated our own follow-up phone calls with people that had been sent RFPs but hadn't responded, but also a couple other potential provider groups, And so as of today, we are in, I would say, promising dialogue with two providers, one a hospital-based system and one a non-hospital-based system.
Two things. One is I want to back up for our listeners and remind them that Vashon has relied essentially on corporate providers as opposed to providing independent health care on the island. That's been our tradition with the last two or three providers that occupied our clinic at Sunrise Ridge. So what you're saying is this request for proposal went out to other healthcare systems. And so would you distinguish, please, between a hospital system and a healthcare system? You mentioned that you're talking with two potential providers, one a hospital system and one a healthcare system. Did I get that right?
Yeah, so a hospital-based system would be a major healthcare system like a Peace Health or a Franciscan's or Providence or somebody like that, that has a network of hospitals, but also has, along with those hospitals, has a network, has a clinic division that has a network of both primary care and specialty clinics. So that would be a hospital-based system that I'm talking about.
And what's the health system?
And another non-hospital-based system or healthcare system would be generally a large clinic system that has multiple clinic locations. And in the case of, it would be somebody like a Neighbor Care. Neighbor Care is in a category of federally qualified health center, which simply means they're a special status that allows for enhanced reimbursement for certain types of services like uncompensated care and Medicaid. And so those kinds of systems, certainly serve an important part of their mission is serving low income populations, but also they all serve a range of patients who have insurance from more traditional insurance companies.
But of course that became the Achilles heel financially for NeighborCare because Vashon Island does not have enough Medicaid patients in its population to support their financial structure. And so how can we find a provider that can work with our population, which is older than other communities in King County and smaller, but yet the average income or the median income is higher? Who's got a system that works with that?
Well, I mean, there are multiple. So there are pros and cons of whether you're working with a hospital-based system or a non-hospital-based system like an FQHC. Yes, NeighborCare had challenges, but remember, their losses were due. They had no financial support during the most of their tenure on Vashon. So they had no financial support.
How do you mean that? Not from their corporation?
What I'm saying is that the reason the hospital district was formed was to generate taxes to support a provider providing services on the island. And NeighborCare has been on the island for, as I understand it, 3 to 4 years, and during that time they've been doing it without the support of a hospital district, a healthcare district.
Oh, I see. Okay. So what you're saying is that...
That's new.
I see. So, of course, the wisdom of our voters is that, okay, we're going to put skin in the game. We are now providing money to providers. That should make this island more attractive. Obviously, it's not more attractive to NeighborCare. They've said they're leaving.
I think NeighborCare, yes. They've made the decision to focus on responding to the challenges of COVID-19 and other things. I think in their overall organization, they've made the decision to focus on their clinics that are probably in the greater King County area. I think they're mostly in King County, but they're in King County, and so I think that's where they're focusing their efforts. That's what I understand, and that's what they want to do.
So let's be very realistic here. What do you think are the chances that Vashon can attract a healthcare provider that will provide the kind of healthcare support we want here, we want and need here on the island? And maybe you could outline for us what the commission has learned or has set as priorities for what we're looking for in a healthcare provider.
Well, I'll start with the last question that you have. Mm-hmm. What the healthcare district is committed to doing is their vision is an on-island primary care home for the residents of Vashon Island that includes convenient, accessible care for island residents. So, in other words, a location on island, quality evidence-based care locally, care and services for residents to help them stay healthy, and coordination of their care when they have to go off island for more specialized care so they can navigate the healthcare system. And so I think whether you're looking at a hospital-based system or a clinic-based system, I think those are certainly a vision that either one of those choices can help you realize. Because a clinic-based system does have relationships with other providers to facilitate the care of their patients. What is the likelihood? I am optimistic that we will find a provider to assume operation of the clinic. We are in conversation with that. I'm optimistic. There's no guarantee, and timing is a concern as well because we have a relatively short timeline and that we're trying to work around. The good news is that we have a lot of people that work at the clinic now that would have indicated that they're interested in staying and working at the clinic.
So would that be an independently supported clinic, a Vashon Island clinic that is managed, if you will, by the healthcare district?
That is not our focus right now. That is an alternative pathway that we could choose to go down, but our focus right now is finding an existing provider to operate the clinic. And again, I mean, there are pros and cons of running a clinic yourself. It's certainly possible to do that, but again, to run a clinic for the district to get into the being a provider is a much bigger project than to find a existing provider to operate the clinic for the district.
Well, when you say then that the current physicians and medical personnel at the clinic are willing to stay, what does that mean?
I think some have expressed an interest in continuing to work on the island. That's what they've indicated. All these folks are currently employees of NeighborCare, and NeighborCare would typically offer positions for both physicians and non-physician employees at other locations of theirs. That's typically what an organization like NeighborCare would do. However, I mean, if people have a choice and don't want to commute off the island to work somewhere else, then they would probably be interested in working for a new provider that operates the clinic.
So what if there is a gap between when NeighborCare departs and we secure a new provider? What sort of potential is there for providing interim health care on the island?
Well, that's one of the most challenging aspects of this problem when we are discussing. We've been going through what we call Plan B options, trying to look at alternatives and what we might do. I think it depends on the length of the gap. And so we're looking at ways in which we could continue to provide a certain level of services for a gap period of time, and how would we do that. We don't know for sure how that would work. Certainly, potentially telemedicine is one option we have discussed, but haven't fleshed that out completely.
I'm sure that you and the commissioners are considering a whole variety of options. Is one of those options a combination health provider and independent providers? Like, could you begin to fold in some of the either naturopathic or acupuncture or other kinds of offerings that do exist on the island, along with something that might be a clinic type setup?
Well, I think there are possibilities where you could partner with someone that has, I would say, as a stopgap measure, if there's, you know, you could potentially partner with someone to work on short-term options. A lot of it's complicated by the fact that to provide medical services, a provider, you know, has to be able to have a computer system and software to document the care they provide to patients. It's called electronic health record or electronic medical record, whichever you choose to use. And those are complicated systems to put together in a very short period of time. And so that's where, you know, being able to work with an existing provider is very helpful. So that is a barrier to doing something, you know, just for a short period of time, because how are you going to have a computer system or software to document your medical records in, and then also billing for, and then that EMR or EHR is also what you use to help bill for those services. And that's another part of the problem is, you know, insurance companies require providers to be credentialed with them in order to bill for services, and that process takes some period of time as well. And to credential providers independently or with the new providers is a timely, complicated process.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like what you're talking about is rebuilding an infrastructure that would ideally come from a turnkey operation with an established provider. Is that correct?
Yes. And so, I mean, I've in all the hospitals I've worked at, I've had clinics, and I'm well aware of it's not a simple thing to even if you have employees and doctors and nurse practitioners that are ready and willing and able to work, there's a lot of details that go into starting a new clinic operation, whether it be in the current location or in a new location.
How long have you been our superintendent, Eric Jensen?
Since June 15.
In that time, I know you've probably been spending a lot of time assessing our situation. What do you see as the biggest roadblock to Vashon getting a sustained provider of the kind of health care that we want and need?
I think the biggest roadblock that we, you know, I would see the roadblocks that we face right now are the timeline that's very short, and the COVID-19 disaster, I guess you would call it, that's occupying all the existing providers and making it very difficult for them to transition their current operations and keep those operations afloat. Those are the two biggest barriers. I think one of the, what would have been the biggest barrier would be the financial support of a clinic on the island that is clearly everybody recognizes is going to be necessary through the healthcare district, and that would have been the biggest barrier, but that barrier has been more or less solved.
Yeah, as long as we can find somebody who'll take the money.
Yes.
Do you have any notion of what percentage of our population cannot really go off island for their health care? In other words, how many people on the island would be literally abandoned and without health care if we had a gap period from the time that neighbor care leaves until you guys can secure a new provider?
I don't have that information. I do know that there are, in every community, every rural community, there are people that are either for transportation or economic issues have a difficult time traveling to get health care. Generally, those are the low-income population, which include a portion of the Medicaid population, but there are also a small portion of people on the island who don't even have Medicaid.
Right.
They're simply uninsured. And so the islands, you know, there are some specific challenges there if you don't have a car to drive to the ferry, you know, or you don't have the financial wherewithal to make those kinds of trips. So I came from a community most recently that was severely challenged in that area. And so it's a big issue. Even if you've got a major hospital community 25 miles away or 20 miles away to get there, so people tend to skip health care. That's really important.
Yeah.
Important that they not skip health care, but they do because they can't get there and they feel like they can't afford it. So I think it's real important. I mean, 17% of the paramix for the clinic right now is Medicaid. That's relatively low compared to a lot of rural communities, as you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a high Medicare population, and that creates another set of challenges.
Yeah.
People that are older often have difficulty traveling too. So I think those are all really important factors why it's so important to get the primary care clinic reestablished and financially secure so that it's there.
So I'm wondering, and I'm suspecting, that you and the commissioners are working with other organizations on the island, like the Senior Center and Vashon Community Care, to help people who cannot currently get off island do that if there is a gap between neighbor care and a new provider. What do you know about how the health commissioners are working with others to prepare for that?
I do know that there is one of the things we explored is, you know, vouchers, transportation vouchers, and whether that would be an option for the district to support to get people to help fund their way to travel off island for care as kind of a stopgap measure, primarily, I think, for primary care. So that has been kicked around and discussed, and I think there was a voucher program I heard of some type already.
Yeah, and I think it either went through the Senior Center or the Chamber of Commerce. And we have run out of time. Thank you, listeners. We have been talking with Vashon's new superintendent for the healthcare district. He is Eric Jensen. Eric, thank you. Thank you so much. You've got a big job on your hands, and we're grateful for all the work that you and the healthcare commissioners are doing. Could you please tell the listeners what the website is for the healthcare district?
VashonHealthcare.org.
I think that's it. And folks, if you go to that website, you can also find out about how to join the commissioners' regular meetings by Zoom. Again, thank you for listening. Eric Jensen, thank you for being with us.